स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य बीपी की फाउंडर श्री प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परहंस हरिव्रज आचार्य अष्टतर शिष्यमत भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्री प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णवृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव हरि गौर भक्तवृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राध कुंड गिरि गोविंदाम की ब्रज भूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की श्री नवरी मायापुर धाम की पुरुषोत्तम चक्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की श्री जगन्नाथ बालदेव सुभद्र महारान की रात्यात्र महामहोत्सव की गो प्रेम नंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द समर्थ गुरुज ग्लोरीज टू द समर्थ गुरुज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द समर्थ गुरुज All glories to the lotus feet, Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Gopinath. Beloved Before I begin speaking, I'd like to ask the blessings of the assembled devotees, specifically the godbrothers and godsisters of my spiritual master. It is only by your good wishes and your blessings and your kindness that I'm able to say something to inspire you all. The verse that is meant to be discussed today, chapter 18, text 9 and 10 of the 4th canto, had one theme which runs through most of what I had prepared to say today. So I'll maintain the theme, but we won't refer to any verse. The theme for discussion was affection, because the earth in the form of a cow was stating to Maharaj Prithu that he would be successful in milking her if he presented her with a calf. In that purport, Prabhupada is explaining that it is very necessary in the milking process to have a qualified expert milkman and a calf nearby, because when the cow is in the presence of the calf, it is inspired and induced to produce milk, because of loving affection. So, in view of the great personalities whose disappearance day it is today, namely Sri Gadadhar Pandit and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this theme of affection runs through it. There was a deep tie of loving affection between Sri Gadadhar Pandit and Gaura Hari. Even as they were growing up, they were childhood friends, very intimate friends. But the thing is, they were opposite extremes. Gadaya was more reserved, quiet, introvert, whereas Nimai was extrovert, unsteady and very chanchal. However, they were very close. And this closeness is explained by Sri Kavi Karnapur. Kavi Karnapur states that in Raja Leela, Gadadhar Pandit is none other than the daughter of Maharaj Vrishabhanu. Vrishabhanu Nandini is Srimati Radharani. And Gadadhar Pandit joins the Sankirtan party as Gadadhar. Srimati Radharani takes the form of Gadadhar, and together they perform pastimes in the land of Narya. It is described that sometimes Lord Chaitanya would sit in seclusion in some forest grove in Navadvip, and to increase his mood, that mood of Raja, Mukunda Datta would sing some suitable song in the Purva Raga, as explained. Gadadhar Pandit would present the Lord with a very beautiful garland of sweetly scented flowers, and all other associates of the Lord would fan him with shamaras and peacock fans, etc. Gadadhar would go even to the extent of decorating the Lord's quarters with freshly scented flowers, very sweet scented flowers, and preparing sandalwood paste to smear on the body of Lord Chaitanya. So this ras is still existing even in the pastimes in Navadvip. The relationship between Gadadhar Pandit and Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is somewhat mysterious and somewhat guhyam, hidden. There's one explanation which comes from a pastime. This pastime is involving one scholar who came to Jagannath Puri to associate with Lord Chaitanya. His name was Vallabha Bhatta. And during the time of his observing Lord Chaitanya and the associates, specifically during the dancing at Rath Yatra, Vallabha Bhatta became very attracted. Lord Chaitanya was singing in an extraordinary way, he was dancing in an extraordinary way, the kirtan parties were arranged in a very extraordinary way. So Vallabha Bhatta could conclude this is some extraordinarily great personality, Krishna himself. So upon coming to this conclusion, he decided to approach Lord Chaitanya. When Vallabha Bhatta approached Lord Chaitanya, he did so in a very humble mood, a submissive mood, and Lord Chaitanya reciprocated in that way. Lord Chaitanya, however, we know, is the Supreme Lord, Super Soul dwelling in everybody's heart. So he could detect, along with Vallabha Bhatta's external social etiquette, there also lied within his heart a deep sense of pride in his scholarship. He was a very scholarly personality. So to arouse that sense of pride, so it may be corrected, this is the nature of Lord Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Some anartha may be there in the heart of the devotee, so he makes an arrangement to remove that anartha. So in the case of Vallabha Bhatta, the anartha was pride in his learning. When Lord Chaitanya started to glorify Advaita Charya, Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Roy and all of his glorious associates in the presence of Vallabha Bhatta, Vallabha Bhatta was agitated and he wanted to prove his own prowess in learning. So he decided to offer his own explanation on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya, being the Super Soul of all souls, understood that this person's presentation is not according to Siddhanta. So he declined, saying that he is more inclined to chanting and dancing in Kirtan. But he advised to go speak to his other associates. But because Lord Chaitanya had declined to hear about Vallabha Bhatta's presentation, all other residents of Jagannath Puri, the associates of the Lord, also had nothing to do with him. They didn't want to accept something that the Supreme Lord himself did not. However, there was some intimate connection between Vallabha Bhatta and Gadadhar, more from the side of Vallabha Bhatta. Vallabha Bhatta used to regularly visit Lord Sri Gadadhar and associated with him, and came to a point that Gadadhar Pandit was placed in a moral dilemma. What do I do? If I listen to this person's philosophy, then I place myself in a compromise in the eyes of Lord Chaitanya. If I don't listen to him, he'll be disturbed. It may be an offense. So it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the 7th chapter of Antya Leela that Gadadhar Pandit began to pray to Krishna for help. Lord, I perceive a great danger here. Please guide me so I can make a proper decision and not compromise myself. So saying like this, he decided to listen to the explanation of Vallabha Bhatta. Vallabha Bhatta, however, his interpretation of the Bhagavatam was tinged with some improper philosophy. And it became very clear that he could not be tolerated in the company of the Vaishnavas. This was brought to the forefront in one particular incident when he criticized Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami, one of the great acharyas in our line, wrote lengthy commentary on Bhagavatam, and much of the predecessor acharyas to ourselves have based their commentary on Sridhar Swami's commentary. When the criticism of Sridhar Swami was heard by Lord Chaitanya, he was very disturbed. Very disturbed. He said that a wife who doesn't listen to the husband is like a prostitute, who doesn't follow the husband. So in this case, the students of the Shastras should be in keeping with parampara, the previous acharyas, and not deviate. It's a very strong lesson for us also. And Mahaprabhu basically rejected Vallabha Bhatta. Vallabha Bhatta was feeling increasing difficulty and pain in trying to present something, but it is continuously being rejected. At the same time, Lord Chaitanya decided to exhibit some special ras with Gadadhar at this point. So it's described that like Satyabhama in Krishna Leela is extremely overt and extrovert and outspoken to the extent of challenging Krishna, Rukmini Devi was passive and more accommodating and much more tolerant of the Lord's joking manner sometimes. To the extent that in one occasion Lord Krishna tested Rukmini by saying that she should rather have married Shishupal or somebody else. And Rukmini was very simple at heart. She loved Krishna with everything. So her response was she fainted. And then Lord Krishna realized she had not taken it in a joking spirit. So Sri Gadadhar Pandit is in the mood of Rukmini, very accommodating. So Lord Chaitanya began to neglect Gadadhar and also not take his association. And Gadadhar Pandit didn't complain or make a comment or argue. And this also pleased Lord Chaitanya very much because he understood that this was Gadadhar Pandit's mood. So it's described that Gadadhar Pandit took to the sannyas ashram, and he also took a vow of kshetra sannyas. Kshetra sannyas means he doesn't leave a particular place, in this case Jagannath Puri. And whilst at Jagannath Puri, he took up the worship of Tota Gopinath. It is described that he worshipped with so much of love and devotion that Lord Gopinath started to reciprocate with him. There was a point when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the material world, and at that time Gadadhar Pandit was around 48. But then when Lord Chaitanya left, the physical signs of aging started to increase very rapidly in Gadadhar Pandit. He was so attached to Lord Chaitanya to the extent that he couldn't garland Tota Gopinath. So Tota Gopinath, knowing that his devotee wanted to offer him some service, sat down on the altar, and therefore made it easier for and facilitated his devotee's service. This also comes across the theme of affection that the Lord has for his devotees. To this day, this Tota Gopinath is the only deity of Krishna that's sitting down, and it's proof of Krishna's affection for his devotees. Krishna knows as Bhakta Vatsala. Although Gadadhar Pandit was prevented from going to Vrindavan to be with Lord Chaitanya, one of his teeth actually was sent to Vrindavan, and it's kept in Samadhi called a Danta Samadhi. This is in Vrindavan, in near Vamsi Gopal temple. Interestingly enough, the worshipable deities of Srila Satchidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur are Gaur Gadadhar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it is described in many books. One I am referring to now is called the Seventh Goswami. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's character was unique. He was able to accomplish so much more service in a very short period of time. And he was able to arrange his day in such a way that he maximized the use of time in the service of Krishna. He was equally disposed to everyone, both devotees, friends alike and non-devotees alike. And he gained a great repute for being a very great scholar. Just as a display of his humility, once Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that in relation to his commentary on the Bhagavatam, in which he explains the process of Sambandha, Prayojana, Abhideya, Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana, he indicated that this explanation was inspired when he personally met Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami. Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami, the associate of Lord Chaitanya, appeared to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and explained the first verse of the Bhagavatam, as well as how to present it in terms of Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. Interestingly, the reaction of Bhaktivinoda wasn't to be puffed up and show that I'm so great a scholar that the Lord Himself sent His associate to help me. Rather, he said that he didn't want to attract unnecessary attention. And if he were to tell everyone that he had the association of Swarup Dhammarao, it could be considered spiritual conceit. So he was very humble. So today I thought I'll focus on three major contributions of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The first was his exemplary time management. Second was his voluminous and prodigious writing of books. And the third was his preaching contributions, because he made some innovations which were original. There is a characteristic of bhava explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu called avyakta kalatvam. Avyakta kalatvam means that a devotee who is imbued with bhava doesn't waste any time. All his time is used in the service of the Lord. In this regard, I'll read something to you which Srila Prabhupada wrote. He had a responsible government position as the district magistrate, high court judge. He maintained a Krishna conscious family and wrote almost 100 books on Krishna consciousness. At the same time, he served the Supreme Lord in so many ways. That is the beauty of his life. After a full day of government service, he would sleep for 4 hours, get up at midnight and write until morning. That was his daily program. This is from Srila Prabhupada. So there's a description by Mahanidhi Swami about exactly how Bhaktivinoda Thakur's day was used. So from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur would write. From 4 to 4:30 he would take rest. From 4:30 to 7 a.m. he would chant japa. From 7 to 7:30 a.m. correspondence. 7:30 to 9:30 study shastras. 9:30 to 10 he would bath, take his prasadam of half a liter of milk, fruit and 2 chapatis. From 10 to 1 he'll attend to court duties as a magistrate. He'll return to his home at 1 and do 1 hour of refreshment. From 2 to 5 again back to the court. From 5 to 7 he will translate Sanskrit shastras into Bengali language. And from 7 to 8 he will take a bath and have prasadam, which was half a liter of milk, rice and 2 chapatis. And from 8 to 10 2 hours, he would rest. So Mahanadi Maharaj does some mathematics. I don't know if you were calculating while I was speaking, but Mahanadi Maharaj makes a calculation. In total, Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to sleep for 3 hours, write for 8.5 hours, study and japa for 4.5 hours, and work for 6 hours. So quite a sadhana kadra. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is famous as a glorious author of many, many authoritative books in terms of Siddhanta, as well as many poems and prayers. In fact, the bhajan that we sang at the beginning of every Bhagavatam class is also scripted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jai Radha Madhava. This is a very special song because on 2 occasions, Srila Prabhupada experienced very esoteric, ecstatic symptoms whilst chanting Jai Radha Madhava. So, although it's just 4 lines, the meaning is extremely deep. And any of you who have read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs or his poetry or his books, you'll know that his writing, although not extremely scholarly in terms of the language usage, English language usage, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but still his writings touch the heart. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has an ability when he expresses himself in writing, his words touch the heart. Another significant contribution by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a leela he enacted right here in Mayapur. And that is, he discovered the actual birth site of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is at Yogapit. And it is described that not only did he whimsically decide this, but he did research for a very long time. He researched old maps, he consulted residents who were living in that area, and also at the final stage when it was decided that that was the actual spot, he called a very great Rasik Mahajan Paramahansa, and this was Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. It is described that Srila Jagannath Das Babaji was so old and frail that he could physically not keep his eyes open. And if he wanted to see somebody, he had to lift them with his finger. Also, he was so physically incapacitated that he had to be carried in a basket by his servant. However, when Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj came to the spot which Bhaktivinoda Thakur suggested is the actual appearance place of Lord Chaitanya, it is described that Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj jumped out of the basket, leapt into the air and chanted, "Gaura Hari! Gaura Hari!" This is the spot, confirming through his insight, spiritual insight, that this was actually this place. Prior to the preaching efforts of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there was basically no attempt on a large scale to promote Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement in the Western world. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, however, wrote a book called Lord Chaitanya, His Life and Precepts. This book had a 40-some-odd page introduction in English. And this book was dispatched to the West, including one McGill University in Canada. I specifically mentioned the McGill University in Canada because when Srila Prabhupada's disciples went there almost during the time of Srila Prabhupada on this planet, they discovered this book of Bhaktivinoda Thakur at this McGill University. So one of the pioneers of Sankirtan book distribution is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He made three very potent predictions. One of his predictions is in accordance to something which is stated in the Chaitanya Mangala by Lochan Das Thakur, that there will be a great personality who will appear and he will travel all over the world and spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. He also predicted that the Harinam Sankirtan will be chanted by all devotees of all countries, of all nationalities in every town and village of the world, and they will assemble in the Dham. That's his third prediction. And he says, when will that day come when the fair-skinned foreigners will come to Sri Mayapur Dham, join with the Bengali Vaishnavas to chant, Jai Sachinandan! Jai Sachinandan! When will that day be? So, just to fulfill that prediction, an empowered Vaishnava Acharya has appeared, fulfilling all three predictions by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And that is very clear to see, is in the form of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki! In 1914, on the Tirubhav Tirthi of Gadadhar Pandit, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur entered the eternal abodes and the eternal pastimes of Sri Sri Gaur Gadadhar. It is described in terms of the personality of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Swarup. This is described in the Gaura Ganesh Dipika, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is actually Kamala Manjari. There's a further explanation that Kamala Manjari is an attendant of Ananga Manjari, who is the sister of Srimati Radharani. It's further explained that Ananga Manjari manifested here in earthly plane as Janavi and Vasudha, the consorts of Lord Nityananda. Therefore we can understand why Godrum, which is the place of the marketplace of the holy name, is so special to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There's a deeper lying significance there. Srila Prabhupada said that it is spiritually significant that he appeared in 1896, the same year that Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent his books overseas. By the will of Lord Chaitanya, the desire of Thakur Bhaktivinoda and the mercy of Srila Saraswati Thakur empowered Prabhupada to spread Lord Chaitanya's teachings and chanting Hare Krishna all over the world. Srila Gadadhar Pandit's affection for Lord Chaitanya is immeasurable and cannot even be explained. That's also stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's affection for all living entities, the depth of his compassion cannot be measured. So much of affection, love, compassion for the living entities that practically he sacrificed sleep, he sacrificed eating to preach. We also consider the activities and sadhana of Srila Prabhupada, how he sacrificed sleep and conveniences for our pleasure and our benefit and the benefit of humanity by presenting the Bhaktivedanta purports. And we can understand clearly that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't live for himself. Practically he was living for everybody else. It is described also that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur stayed in the Grihastha Ashram until the last few years of his life. So sometimes somebody may take to a higher ashram for some motivation. However, he saw the practicality of remaining in that ashram and continuing to preach. And in his last years on the planet, he took Babaji Vesh and he was in seclusion chanting the holy name of the Lord. Although the activities of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur can and should not be imitated, they should be followed. There's two Sanskrit terms called Anukar and Anusar. Anukar means imitating and Anusar means following in the footsteps. Anusar is very much desired because one who follows in the footsteps of the previous Acharyas will not be defeated in his path in Krishna consciousness. One who imitates, however, is in danger of following under the term Sahaja and not actually having the Adhikar to be on that level of spiritual practice. So, it's not that we can try and sleep for 3 hours a day or write as many books as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur did and still continue in life. We can try and follow in the footsteps. Also, it is described that he built a little room for himself, a 1 meter cube, and in this room he would perform his bhajan. Now, we may sometimes desire to have such a room. So much of disturbance, you know, people walking this way and that way, somebody chanting very loudly. If only we had such a room, then my japa would be perfect. But I can tell you personally, if I had such a room, the first thing I will do is fall fast asleep. We don't have the taste yet to be in that type of situation, but we can aspire for it. We can aspire for it. We can create that sacred space within our own consciousness of quietude. So even amongst the most disturbing situation, people are walking all over the temple room and there's noise and announcements and preaching going on, still we can be fixed. My point being that although we are disturbed, still we should chant. Death is the most disturbing situation. Can you imagine of a more disturbing situation than death? How disturbed you are. Your life airs all over the place. You're choking. You cannot think clearly. How difficult will it be to chant then? So practice now, under all circumstances, constantly and continuously, loudly chant the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. There's one nice pastime which was told by Janani Vasprabhu about Krishna's affection for his devotees and the devotees' affection for Krishna. Rukmini Devi used to notice that quite often Krishna was not at home. She'll get up in the middle of the night and say, Krishna's gone. Every night this was happening. So I mentioned to you earlier, her mood was more accepting and more tolerant, so she didn't question Krishna for a long time. Then at one stage she said, look, Krishna, I noticed that every day you go out at night, I'm starting to feel there must be something lacking in my service to you, otherwise why will you go? You may be getting some joy, some happiness superior to what I can offer you. That is fine, but at least I'd like to know. Krishna didn't explain, but he said, you come with me. So Krishna took Rukmini. They came across one garden. In this garden was one building, like a garden house, kind of like a gazebo. And in this gazebo was Arjuna, fast asleep. Arjuna's hair was untied and was lying around his head. Krishna took a bunch of Arjuna's hair and placed the tips at Rukmini's ear. And he said, listen. And as Rukmini heard, she could hear, Krishna, 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 Krishna. So, leaving Arjuna to continue his rest, Krishna took Rukmini inside and explained, how is it possible to leave such devotees who are constantly chanting my name? It is not possible for leaving. When they call out to me constantly like this, I am induced, I must come to them. So, we are certainly not on that level where every part of our being is chanting the holy names of the Lord. But it's like I mentioned before, it's something to aspire to. Something to aspire to. Examples of personalities who are constantly chanting the Lord's names are the gopis. The Vraja gopis, whatever chores they are doing, whatever service they are doing, they are always chanting the names of Krishna. We see that even the gopis are put through extreme tests. Extreme tests. When Krishna played his flute to call the gopis for the rasa dance, they left everything to come to him. There was no consideration for family ties. They dropped their babies, they left their husband sleeping in bed, and they went to see Krishna. There's no consideration of Vedic injunctions that, oh, you're a young married woman, this is an unmarried young man, you're not meant to meet with him. No consideration. There's no consideration of social injunctions that, oh, what will people think? They didn't even consider about their physical appearance. It's described in their haste to get to Krishna, they put the bottom half of their clothes on the top and the top half of their clothes on the bottom. Sometimes they made one eye makeup, half lipstick, half mascara, whatever, and just running because the flute was all they heard. And when they got to Krishna, he wanted to tease them a little bit. So he said, my dear girls, this is such a lovely night here in Vrindavan forest. So many nice sounds, but it's a very dangerous place. You shouldn't be here alone. So maybe you should go back home. Gopis are so disturbed. After sacrificing so much, still he's turning us away. So they started to scratch on the ground, make different patterns with their toes on the sand, but stayed with Krishna and then declared, where else can we go? We've sacrificed everything for you. Please do not decline our desire to be with you. And then of course the rasa dance began. During the course of the rasa dance, however, Krishna left because he detected some tinge of pride in the heart of the gopis. And just to purify them of that, he vanished from the midst of the rasa dance. It is explained that the gopis were in such a category that their love could not be compared to anybody else's love. It's the supermost, super excellent love for the Lord, because there's no personal motive. And this is the price to attract Krishna's full attention. So the gopis were asking, how is it, why is it that you punish us like this? Why is it that you torture us like this? Because seemingly you are the welfare wish of your devotees, but you torture us in such ways. And Krishna explained that, yes, your love for me is extreme, but I want to intensify it. That we may have intense attraction, affection and service for Krishna, But Krishna always puts us through a test to intensify it. So Burijan Prabhu tells a nice story in this regard. There was an East German coach of the East German Olympic team for gymnastics. This coach was very severe. And it was a group of young girls, young gymnasts around 10 years old, in the pre-teens. So all these young gymnasts were put through their ropes, put through their paces by this teacher. But he was so extreme and severe that he always chastised them. So the parents were faced regularly with children coming home in tears and saying, "Oh, I want to quit. What is wrong with this teacher?" So the parents, in consultation, decided, "Let us meet with another coach and get the coach to speak, to counsel this coach. Maybe he's got some issue." So when the coach approached the national coach, he said, "You don't understand. I am training these girls for Olympic gold." And it's described that this teacher didn't even praise them a little bit. Like, you know, if they did something, out of 10 steps they did one right, he just saw the negative. Criticizing, "This is wrong, that is wrong, that is wrong." So he described, "You don't understand. I am training these girls to win Olympic gold. Olympic gold is not any ordinary medal. It's the gold medal of all gold medals." And saying like this, he explained that when one of these girls wins the Olympic gold, I watch what happens. And the first thing they do is they burst into tears of happiness this time, and they run to me. They don't go to their parents, they run to me. Because they know that all the rigors that I put them through, that is what is taken, that is the price that is to pay to get this Olympic gold medal. So I think although it's a mundane story from the material world, it applies to us in our Krishna consciousness in terms of what it takes to get the mercy of the Lord. Lord Brahma, in his prayers in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, explains that if a devotee continues to serve with his body, mind and words, although put through great trials and tribulations, the spiritual world abode becomes his rightful claim. Krishna always tests his devotees. It's like a graduation. If you pass one test, there's another one waiting. And each test successively you pass, you progress to another test. What should be our attitude towards tests? Our attitude towards tests should be that this is an opportunity to advance. It's a test of my Krishna consciousness. And when we are placed in situations of difficulty, of discomfort, that's when we make the most advancement. Yesterday His Grace Sankarshanita mentioned about Queen Kunti praying for difficulties. That's a very exalted level of devotional service, asking for difficulties to come. Why does somebody ask for difficulties to come? Because they know they will be forced to think of Krishna, to take refuge of Krishna. When things are going easily, generally we don't pray, generally we don't take shelter. But when we're placed in some difficulty, we take full shelter. So, I'll end there. If there's any questions or comments, please ask. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Here. And the second one was that people from all over the world will chant Hare Krishna in Mayapur. What was the third?
The second one was they will chant in their towns. In their towns. That means the Harinam movement will spread in every town and village over the world. And the third one is related to Harinam Sankirtan, but it will be congregational chanting of different people from different parts of the world in Sridhar Mayapur.
I see. Thank you.
And Srila Prabhupada completely fulfilled and is fulfilling all of those predictions. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
Maybe you can correct me on this. I think it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, I think it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I read it some time ago. But he said it's better to keep a lower standard steady, a steady lower standard than a higher standard. This is the point. To find out where your standard is. It's better to keep that standard than a higher standard. It's better.
It's a comment. You're making a comment.
I think this Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said this.
Oh, you're mentioning this point as a comment.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. All of it hinges on one verse. What you just said, what you just quoted. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 27. Prakriti kriyamanani gune karmanani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma kartam iti manyate. It is said that the spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer. These activities are actually carried out by the three modes of material nature. I want to relate that first to what you just said. Because in the purport, Prabhupada says there's two people doing exactly the same activity, but on different levels of consciousness. If somebody thinks that they are the doer, automatically they are attached to the fruits of those results and they will suffer or enjoy the fruits of those results. If somebody does some activity exclusively for the pleasure of Krishna, then whatever the fruits of those results may be, he offers it to the Lord. As long as you are confident that you've tried your best and you offer the fruit to Krishna, that's success in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we feel that we may successfully lead a kirtan. It's so beautiful. The next day our voice cracks in the middle of the kirtan and you think, oh, I didn't sing well. You may cook some incredible kheer that denies the taste buds, tasting power, in terms of the taste buds are so limited, taste the glorious kheer. The next day you burn the kheer or you put salt instead of sugar. So point is, we shouldn't think we are good or bad cook. Do your best, follow the recipe of course, and leave the results to Krishna. Offer it to Krishna. Offer your activity, offer the kheer to Krishna, and then surely enough, if he accepts, it'll be glorious. I'm glad you asked that question. It has to do with devotional mood. There's a nice section of verses in the 9th chapter, begin from 26 to 34. And in this series of verses, Krishna is explaining about pure devotional service. This 26, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayatchati Tadaham Bhaktya Paritam Ashnami Prayatatmi is definitive definition of pure devotional service. There are two other verses in chapter 9 which deal with pure devotional service, 9.14 and 9.22. So in 9.26, in the purport, Prabhupada is explaining why the devotee offers fruit, flower, leaves, water. Krishna requests that. He requests that not because he's hungry, because combined with that bhoga is two of the most important ingredients. What is that? Love and devotion. If we offer even the simplest thing with love and devotion, that captures Krishna's attention. He wants to eat that. He's hungry for that. After all, Krishna owns everything. Bhaktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maishwaram sohittam sarva bhutanam gyatramam richati. He's the owner and controller of everything. He's a well-wishing friend of everybody. And one who knows that experiences peace. So one's mind and one's existence will always be disturbed and unhappy, ashant, if one doesn't recognize Krishna as Bhaktaram. As long as one thinks that he is Bhaktaram, the enjoyer of that kirtan, the enjoyer of that kheer, the enjoyer of that Bhagavatam class, you give such a wonderful class, immediately you are thinking that you are Bhaktaram. You are not Bhaktaram. Krishna is Bhaktaram. There can only be one Bhaktaram. And if we serve Bhaktaram with as much sincerity as we can muster, Krishna will carry what you lack. 922, Krishna says, carry what you lack and preserve what you carry what you lack and preserve what you have. So nobody is perfect in this world. But I can guarantee you that everyone in this classroom assembly is trying their best for Krishna. Envy means I see that I am doing my best but others are not. I am seeing that I am the best devotee but others are not. Freedom from envy means I am not the doer. Okay, so I led a great kirtan. People were dancing in ecstasy, they were spinning and flying. Wow, I didn't do. Krishna did. He empowered me to sing like this. Being free from envy means when somebody else leads a kirtan, you're not jealous of that person. Oh, you know, he thinks he sings so nicely. Wow, he croaks like a toad. But the point is, he's not doing. Krishna is doing. I'm sure you've had experiences in your life when you've done something, apparently done something glorious, and the next day you fall flat on your face. This is Krishna pulling the transcendental plug. He does that once in a while, just to check that pride. So, Prabhupada said, we should be conscious, then be Krishna conscious. Conscious mane, we should be aware. How is my thoughts, my speech and my actions affecting those in my environment? If I am just offering full dandana pranams with so much of devotion, but on top of another devotee, is that devotion really? If in my ecstasy of walking around Tulsi, I'm bumping people left and right like a Dodge car, you know, just bumping people and just... Is that devotion really? We should always be conscious. Always be conscious of how our thoughts and words are affecting others. And then, whatever your level will be, that will be decided by the Lord. From our side, the best we can do is to try our best. And as long as we try to continue trying our best, Krishna will continue to try to reach up His hand for us. It's described, if you take one step towards Krishna, Krishna will take 10 steps to pick you up. But it takes some faith. Generally it takes some faith to surrender that much. Draupadi could have held on to the sari with her own strength, but she had to let go with both her hands to experience the full benefit of surrender. And evidence of what it is to be surrendered and the benefits of surrendering come from the other Vaishnavas. We look at how much of taste they have for chanting, how much enthusiastic they are for Krishna consciousness. And if you look at it and say, I'd like to be like that, how can I be like that? Associate. How to associate is very important. This is mentioned in the Nectar of Instruction. There are 6 bona fides ways to associate. To offer prasadam, to accept prasadam, to offer gifts, receive gifts, reveal one's mind in confidence and inquire confidentially. These are the 6 loving exchanges. So we can restrict our Krishna conscious exchanges to this, minimize the 6 enemies, the things which damage devotional service mentioned in Nectar of Instruction text 2, increase the positive things which positively affect the six things which affect positively devotional service mentioned in text number 3, then we will progress. Krishna consciousness is very scientific, and with science, if you follow the process very strictly, you get the same product in the end. And there's evidence of products of proper Krishna consciousness all around you. The problem is we are so busy focusing on ourselves and how great or progressive my Krishna consciousness is, we fail to recognize that amongst us they are very glorious Vaishnavas. We may be sitting next to one right now. Just notice, just appreciate and glorify these devotees' qualities to others. It's described, if you glorify the devotee's good qualities to other people, you gain those good qualities. But if you start propagating about their negative qualities and criticizing, you also gain those negative qualities. So this mouth is used for two reasons: to take prasadam, chant Hare Krishna, and glorify Krishna and his devotees. That's the perfection of this function of this mouth. Use it to speak Krishna Katha, chant the holy names, glorify the Vaishnavas, and take Krishna prasadam. So we can practice together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Thank you very much. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki, Sri Gadadhar Pandit ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, O Premanande.